Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri. And we have as our special guest, Brother Tommy Welchel, the storyteller of the book that the Lord has caused to come forth at this hour, I believe, because we're about to move into these things again, even more than what is here. This book is entitled, They Told Me Their Stories. The youth and children of Azusa Street tell their stories. God caused Brother Tommy Welchel to know these children who were at Azusa Street after they were grown and really up in years, some of them. In the 1960s, he came to know them. Here's how he came to know them. I'm going to recap what we talked about yesterday, Tommy's life. Tommy was a boy in Oklahoma, brought up on a farm, loved the farm life. His mother was a woman of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and all during the days of that great healing outpouring, she took him from one meeting to the next, from Brother Branham to Brother Oral Roberts to A.A. Allen to, you name it, down the line, all those old healing evangelists, or they weren't old, but, you know, from that time, and he was there with Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Kenneth Hagin. He was in their meetings. And his mother knew that the anointing would come over on him because she said, you watch my words, Tommy's going to be a preacher. Well, Tommy didn't look much like a preacher in his early days because when he was 14 years old, his father got into some trouble with the law, lost the farm, and the children and the mother left them to Texas, didn't you?
Or, not at first.
Not at first.
But in 59, she remarried and
That's the Texas connection,
yes,
because we're going to tell you something about that.
Texas.
And so Brother Tommy got into a life of crime. Even at that young age, he was out on the streets,
yeah.
And he became a ringleader of a group of little thugs. Mm-hmm. Might be little robbers, little thieves, little whatever, and he was the ringleader of it. The law was going to come after him. They said, if we get the head of the gang, then it'll all disappear. And so Tommy got word from his friend, Teddy, I believe was his name.
No,
what was his name?
It was Glenn.
Glenn.
Teddy was the grandson.
Oh, Teddy was the grandson. Okay, Glenn and his grandmother, right? I'm getting this all mixed up. But anyway, one of your friends told you the law is after you. You got the opportunity then to run from the law, run to California. You were out in California. You were hungry. You were on the street. You were a con artist. And you saw these two little ladies coming, and you knew what they were.
Yeah.
It was Sister Goldie and Sister who?
I don't know
you
her name.
You don't know the other one's name. But okay, but they were up in years, and they were little Pentecostal ladies. He knew what little Pentecostal ladies looked like because he'd been to all those meetings. Had little glory buns on their hair, and they were out witnessing. And they saw this boy, and they headed straight to you. And what happened, Tommy?
Well, Sister Goldie, the other lady would sit and hold my hand, and that felt good, you know.
Because you were a boy, really, yes. Runaway, 17 at this time, were you?
17.
Uh-huh.
And Sister Goldie was witnessing to me.
Mm-hmm. And so, the other lady was holding your hand.
Yes, kind of rubbing it.
Yeah.
And so.
Showing you love.
Yes, which I wasn't used to.
Uh-huh.
Except from Mama.
Uh-huh.
And she invited me to say the sinner's prayer, and I thought, well, why not? You know, what do you got to lose? I wasn't that earnest, but I said it. And after I said it, it's like an oven went off inside of me. And I started crying, and I started just kind of a shaking, and I looked at Goldie and said, I'm a Christian. And Goldie, then I told her, I said, I have an uncle somewhere up in Bakersfield, but I said, I don't know which way Bakersfield is. I didn't. So she told me she knew a place I could get help at, so the next morning, she took me to Pisgah.
Pisgah. P-I-S-G-A-H.
Yes.
What was that place?
Well, it was founded by a famous brain surgeon back in 1895 by the name of Yoakum. When they took me there, on the way, Goldie had told me that she had attended the Azusa Street Revival Saint. Now, I knew about it because Mama talked about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And those old-time Pentecostals talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, she introduced me to about three of her friends that were also retired and living there. Pisgah had a big community there with apartments to rent. And of course, they had about 21 workers there too.
They had a church, had a ministry.
Yes. Church had the biggest ministry they had was the Herald of Hope, a big magazine. They printed and printed all over the world. And so after I got there and was there for a while, Harold Smith, he was really the manager of the whole place, he started introducing me to other, and I was surprised, there's over a dozen of them.
Of these old-time saints.
Old-time saints that were from, you know, in their late 60s on Mother Riggs. We called her mother, her name was Alice Riggs, but we called her Mother Riggs, the mother of Ralph Riggs.
Who started?
Was one of the founding fathers of the Assemblies of God.
Right.
And she was almost 100.
She was almost 100.
Keen memory. And she could really make good chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, they all would feed you chocolate chip cookies, and you said hers were the very best.
Very best. Yes.
And so they lived there on apartments and different things.
Yes.
And they ministered to people.
To people. And yeah. They do little odd jobs at the Herald of Hope or around the, take care of the shrubbery around the place. They were retired, but they were healthy. And of course, Ralph Riggs would come over 2 or 3 times a month to visit his mother.
Mm-hmm.
He'd retired as general overseer of the Assemblies of God in 59.
Mm-hmm.
And he had moved to Southern California because he knew his mother was getting very old.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make him tell me his stories.
And they all told you their stories. Now, you stayed on at Pisgah for how long?
I was there 6 years.
You were there 6 years, and you worked in this Herald of Hope with this ministry.
Yes.
And you told me an interesting story. We're going to come back to Pisgah, but you told me an interesting story that I want to get into today. When was it that you wrote your mother and told her you'd been born again?
But a month after I had been at Pisgah, I'd received the baptism.
Uh-huh.
And I knew Mama would love that.
Uh-huh.
So I sat down and wrote her a letter back in East Texas. She was now in East Texas, had remarried and moved to East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama was dying of a facial infection.
She had eczema, you told me, some kind of a skin disease, and it got all infected, and it was killing
terrible.
Her.
Terrible. The kids said, I'm the oldest of 11 kids. And the kids that knew said it was just terrible. Mama was dying.
Uh-huh.
And we had a pretty good-sized lot, about 3 lots, and another house, one little lot there.
This is in Wright City, Texas
Wright City,
now.
Wright City, Texas. And then next to that was the Assembly of God Church.
Assembly of God Church in Wright City, Texas.
And a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin was having a revival there.
Now, you've never told this story. The Hagins don't know it.
The Hagins do not know
but
it.
But this is an amazing story, and everybody knows my connection with Kenneth E. Hagin, so I was so blessed by this story. So you wrote your mother and told her you're born again and filled with the Spirit. She's living in Wright City, Texas. And a man comes there and holds a meeting at the Assemblies of God Church, which is just across the street from your house, your mother's house.
Right next to it.
Right next to it.
Bumped
into
it.
So then what happens?
Well, one of my brothers that read Mama the letter, because Mama couldn't read nor write.
Mm-hmm, but that you got saved, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He thought, well, if God will save Tommy, he'll save anybody. So he went, and that night he was saved and baptized.
He went to the meeting.
Yes.
Where this Kenneth E. Hagin was having a
That's
meeting
right.
next door.
Yes.
And he went, your brother, read the letter to your mother, and he went to the meeting that Brother Hagin was holding.
That's
okay.
Right. Then the next night, my sister, Brenda Gale, went. Same
she
thing.
She went. And she got born again. And they got filled with the Spirit too, didn't they?
All of them the same night. And then Judy went next.
The next sister went the next night.
Yes.
And what happened to her?
Our younger brother, Terry, wasn't very old, but he wanted to go. He wanted this thing too. So Mama said, if Terry goes and gets it, I'll go to church. You say they're having a miracle night on Thursday nights.
Ah.
So I'll go, even if you have to carry me.
So she's watched her children. She got a letter, you got born again. And then she watched her children in Spirit-filled. She watched them get born again in Spirit-filled one night, next night, next night, next night. So on the fourth night, so she goes, and it's Thursday night. And you told me that Brother Kenneth E. Hagin had announced he's going to have a miracle service that night.
That's right. And when Mama came up, he took one look at her. And before he prayed for her, he told some of the people of the church to go get some tissues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when they prayed for Mama, he said, made her kneel down at the altar, said, you stay right here and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And made her kids get around her and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they laid these tissues underneath her. And my brother, Alex, the one that read the letter to him, he said, Tommy, he said, I started watching Mama, and the strangest thing underneath her chin, the skin started flapping. And it got longer and longer. And all of a sudden, I just drew back and looked at her, and then at the top of her head, this smooth, beautiful skin was coming up. And that old skin of her face, he said, it's just like her face slipped off, the old face, mm-hmm. and a new one was there.
Praise God.
And when my mother died, the rest of her body was wrinkled, but not her face. It still looked about 35 years old.
How old was she when she died?
Almost 70.
Almost 70.
And
so from about 35 years, you might say.
Yes.
She didn't get any wrinkles.
No, not even any pimples.
After that miracle. Miracle healing.
Yes.
Where Brother Kenneth E. Hagin was at Wright City, Texas. Now, you heard him speak on one of his tapes about that meeting.
I was listening to it. This was about, I'd say about 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or however long, and I'd say now, we got all of his tapes, and I was just listening to him one day, and I, first time I listened to him, and I went into shock. I thought, wait a minute,
that's where Mama... He's talking about Wright City.
Yeah,
he's talking about that
Wright
meeting
City,
where Mama got
he
her
He said
meeting.
1960.
Yes.
So I backed it back up and listened to it again and called my wife in. I said, listen to this. She says, that was Brother Hagin? I said, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So sometimes we've got to tell the Hagins.
Sometimes we have to tell the Hagins. We'll sure make a point to tell Kenneth and Lynette and Pat. We'll tell them this story.
They'd love to hear it.
They'd love to hear it. Yeah. And they may have known it already. We don't know. Bless the Lord. But you are in California. You'd written the letter back. And in California, God has arranged for you at Pisgah to meet a special group like a treasure.
Yes.
It was like he had treasured up those people in one spot. Now, God does things like this.
Yes, God.
He treasured them up there, and this young kid comes out, 17 years old, even with a background that you had so that you knew. You were working there, and you love stories.
Oh, yes.
And you love to sit at their feet and hear them tell the stories about Azusa.
Yes, I did.
And so they were children at Azusa. The folks who were older at Azusa, they'd already gone on.
Yeah.
But the children who were children at Azusa and what they saw were all kind of gathered up there together. And you would sit and listen to their stories. You told me they would make chocolate cookies for you.
Chocolate chip cookies. I told them I liked it and I liked cold milk.
And they had that ready for you. And you'd sit at their feet one by one. And this book, They Told Me Their Stories, gives you those stories of the great miracles of Azusa Street. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the prophecy that came to you to write this book and how you had to sit on it for so long and how it's coming for this hour, but it's available right now and it's available to you. You can get it. They Told Me Their Stories by Tommy Welchel, Storyteller. I think that's a good way you put that in there, Brother Tommy. And you can get it by calling us at 1-800-972-3447. We have it. It normally sells for $13. And we are making it available to you for $10. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447 or write Box 40 Branson, 65615. Shalom.